Dan started a series several weeks ago looking at the characters of the Bible and how God used men and women to accomplish his plan of salvation, ultimately his rescue plan. And so today I want to look at two characters of the Bible, in fact, a husband and wife, who were simply living their lives as followers of Jesus. A couple who knew God intimately and who feared him and just lived everyday lives, going about their business, going about their work, their trade, and what they were involved in as followers of Jesus. Now, often I think we struggle to relate to some of the characters of the Bible because often we focus on the heroic elements of their stories or the element of their characteristics and their great accomplishments. Theirs, today the couple that we're looking at, isn't a glamorous story. It's not a king or a prince. It's not a prophet who's calling fire down from heaven or performing miracles. They're not one of the disciples who have been called and trained by Jesus. However, it is a story that most people can relate to on some level. In Acts 18:1-4, which I read before, Paul introduces us to a couple. Their name is Aquila and Priscilla, and his wife Priscilla, who, by every account, they're just a husband and wife. They're living life. They're trying to earn a living, and they're living in Italy. And I'm going to read it again, Acts 18:1-4, just to help us remember. And 18 begins this way: "After these things, he left Athens, went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he, Paul, was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks." So just to give a little bit of background or a little bit of context to what was happening, verse 1 says, "After these things," and after these things, what he's referring to is what happened in chapter 17. So Paul had been traveling and preaching the gospel to in various places, and each time that he would stop and he preached the gospel in these different cities or these different places, there were people who believed. However, there was also those who didn't believe, and they were enemies, really. And they watched their every step, waiting for an opportunity for them to trip up, to make a mistake. And they tried to trip them up. And everywhere he went, there were these people, this group of people that were trying to stir up trouble. And they were looking, I mean, ultimately, they wanted to get rid of him. He was, typically, Paul in the gospel message was dismantling their beautiful system that they had created. And so they were trying to get rid of him or punish him or, you know, at least stop him from teaching and preaching the message of Jesus Christ. When things got too bad, he would leave, he would move on to the next place. And so Paul was at Athens, but he also left Athens under adverse circumstances, and he winds up in Corinth, actually. We also learn here that Paul was a tent maker or leather worker. So just because you were a tent maker didn't mean that you just made tents. In fact, he probably did a lot of different leather work, any type of work that was leather repairs, making different things out of leather. And so they have this common Aquila and Priscilla have this, it just didn't sound right when it came out. It's like, who's that? They have this common trade. They were both leather workers, and they both connect because of the fact that they were tent makers. And verse 2, we read that Aquila and Priscilla were also new to Corinth. So it's not that they had lived here for a long time, because they had been living in Rome. They had been a tent maker business there. But due to the ethnic and religious tensions in Rome, Claudius, he expels all the Jews from Rome in order to eliminate the problem. So Aquila and Priscilla are forced to take uproot their business, their lives, take everything they had, and move their family and friends, and exchange all that was familiar to them for something that was completely new, something that was completely foreign to them. And they were uncertain where they're going to wind up, where is our new home going to be, and how are we going to make a living? So these people are, yeah, just living their lives, everyday normal lives as tent makers, and all of that changes one day. Now, I'm sure we can all agree, this couple was going through a difficult season in their lives. To be suddenly removed from everything that was familiar, family, friends, a familiar place. You know, are we going to be able to make a living somewhere else? Is that, you know, will our leather business thrive? However, this seeming inconvenience doesn't seem to leave this couple in ruins. They didn't choose to give up, but they moved to another location and they start again. And that's incredible, because often what happens when we go through hardship and struggles and challenges in our lives, one of the things that happens is that they give up. They see God as somebody who has abandoned them. And so if you remember the couple of sermons that I preached, that their mindset was really very similar to the couple of sermons that I preached on knowing God and fearing God. They knew God rightly and they feared God rightly. They trusted that he wouldn't abandon them. So what they knew to be true of God was true whether they were living in good circumstances and good economic times, or if they were going through serious hardship or difficulties in their lives. They had an incredibly solid foundation that allowed them to go through adversity and trials without totally ruining them. And I have, normally I'd probably pass over this fairly quickly, because we've actually been talking a fair bit about trials and adversity lately. But I can't just pass over and gloss over it, because as I'm having conversations with people, and we know a lot of the things, there's a lot of people in our church family, this family, that are going through trials and struggles and hardships of some sort. And so I just want to remind you and myself again that God has not abandoned you. He has not abandoned us in this season. I was talking with somebody this past week, and just mentioning some of the circumstances that a lot of individuals or couples or families are going through. And I thought, is this normal or is this abnormal for a church to be so impacted by all of these things? And I was wondering, is it because we've been preaching on knowing God in the midst of trial, of fearing God in the midst of trial, that God is trying to test us? I don't know, but that was the question that I was asking, because it seems that so many of this church family are walking through hard things. Or maybe we just walk through hard things, but now, right now is the season where you're getting more vulnerable and you're being transparent. You're sharing some of those hard things that you're going on. And that's because that's what we're supposed to do. As a church body, we're supposed to carry one another's burdens. God uses these difficult circumstances, these difficult seasons, to create a scenario where his plans and his purpose come to a place of fulfillment in your life. And that's what happened to Priscilla and Aquila. There's this divine appointment that through hard circumstances, Aquila and Priscilla ended up in Corinth at the same time as Paul. We aren't told how they found each other. I mean, Corinth is a pretty big city. Maybe Paul, he's checking his Facebook thing and he's checking Marketplace, or, you know, maybe Michael's or Fabricland is having a big sale flyer. I don't even know if Fabricland still exists. And like, aren't you excited that I know these names? Fabricland and Michael's. I'm just in touch with my sides, all of my sides, my feminine side. So I don't know. Maybe they're having a great sale. I don't know how they found, but probably it was one of the markets in the town. They had markets in the town, and so like a mall at their time. And so they're probably congregating where they, I mean, Aquila and Priscilla, they're trying to make a living. And so Paul, he knows some things that are familiar, so maybe he's headed to this thing. But God used their unfortunate circumstances to remove them from the places where they were for this divine appointment in Corinth, in some market or something. God connected them at that moment. A plan for how Paul was going to influence their lives and Aquila and Priscilla's lives, and how they were going to influence Paul's life. All that happened in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing that the plan that God had for them. God just, he connects all the dots. He brings everything to the right place. for an ordinary husband and wife, just living as faithful followers of Jesus, and he leads them to the place to meet the Apostle Paul. This is often how God, how good friendships are made. Through common likes or skills or abilities or, you know, where we work and all of those things. This is how relationships are happen. And Aquila and Priscilla and Paul met through their common occupation as tent makers. And this common occupation, this was the thread that opened the door for what transpires in verse 3. Verse 3 says, and because he was in the same trade, they were both tent makers, he stayed with them and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. Priscilla and Aquila are just living their lives, earning a living. You know, they're using their skills, their abilities that God has given them to, and it opens the door to use their gift of hospitality. And notice what they do. Paul stays with him. So they invite him, they use their spiritual gift of hospitality and invite him into their home. Now, these aren't homes that are 1,500 to 3,000 square feet that some of us enjoy, right? These are probably just a one-bedroom place, and they invite him to stay in their one-bedroom home with them. We aren't told if they have children or not, so I don't know if that matters, but if there's other people, I mean, just think of it. If it's just the three of them, they're still in this one-bedroom place. And they invite him in, and inviting somebody into your home was a very personal expression. It was being very transparent with people. It was being very real with people, because that was a very private place. And if you go down to check in verse 11 tells us that he didn't stay for just a night. He didn't just stay for a weekend. He stayed for a year and a half. Can you imagine? You come home and your husband says, yeah, I invited this guy to stay with us. Oh, for the night? No, for a year and a half. I mean, how many of us, you know, we're looking at that and we're saying, no, wait, not a chance. But this is just an ordinary husband and wife following Jesus. They see this guy and he has the same business. They're in the same business. So not only do they invite him into their home, they give him a job. So they work together and they live together in this small little house. But it was a God-ordained moment that brought an ordinary couple to be discipled and to disciple and to be encouraged and to help Paul, be a help to Paul. See, a lot of times when we talk about discipleship, we often think that the elder person, maybe the more spiritually mature person, is going to do all of the discipling. But there's this incredible thing that happens when you're in a relationship with people, and because it's like, I don't know, it's like reverse discipling or side-by-side discipling. Because both of you are able to speak into each other's lives. Both of you are able to speak using the spiritual gifts that God has given you to speak into each other's life. Like, what an incredible opportunity to impact people's lives for Jesus and to have your own life impacted for Jesus through someone else's life, through sharing what they've been going on. So Aquila and Priscilla and Paul, they meet through this common trade, but it leads into this opportunity to use their spiritual gifts. One kind of leads into the other. Their skill, their hobby, or often, and maybe you know this, that some of those things just kind of, they build into the other. Something that you have in common now gives you opportunity to be able to use their spiritual gift. And that's exactly what's happened here. They're able to practice their gift of hospitality. And while they use their gift of hospitality, it actually opens the door to Paul and Paul being able to use his gifts of teaching and preaching. Isn't that incredible? And it all starts with relationship. When we're in relationship with somebody, we're able to accept discipleship from them. We're able to disciple them. And God uses each one to accomplish his good and perfect will. So don't minimize the gift or gifts that you've been given. In fact, you're going to see in a little bit that this gift of hospitality and the discipleship that happens actually opens the door for Aquila and Priscilla to be able to use another gift. So Paul is able, because he has a place to stay, because he has a place to work, it opens the door for him to be able to use his gifts. Verse 4 says, and he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When we use our gifts to serve him, so you saw a great bunch of people. There's over 70 people that are serving in VBS this year. And each one of them is playing a huge role, and each one of them allows the other person to be able to use their gifts to serve God. When we use our gifts, it frees somebody else up to use theirs, to bring God glory. Paul has a place to stay, eat, work, and be encouraged. Opportunity to build into their lives using his gifts. And again, remember, this is a working class couple. This is someone like us, living their lives, earning a living in the routine of life. But they're just simply being faithful, using their gifts in his kingdom. They're working together in the same place. It's incredible friendship that happens. And they become close because it's going to happen. You're in a one-bedroom house. You're going to be good friends, or you're going to be good enemies. But if you continue to work that way, in it for a year and a half, live that way and work together, and they become incredibly close friends. In fact, they become so close that they travel together. In chapter 18, 18 to 19, it says that Priscilla and Aquila stayed on in Ephesus to continue, that they traveled together. However, Priscilla and Aquila, they stay on at Ephesus to continue to use their gifts. And this is where something interesting takes place. The using or understanding and using another gift that they've been given in verses 24 to 26. Acts 18, 24 to 26 says this. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. And he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. Notice this part, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him that the way of God more accurately. And so they completed the story of Jesus and his son. So this guy by the name of Apollos comes into Ephesus, and he is passionate. He's preaching and teaching about the Lord. And Priscilla and Aquila hear him, and they're like, "This guy, we like this guy. He's a good communicator. He's a good preacher, but he's not understanding the gospel fully. His theology was a little inaccurate." So they take him aside quietly. They don't do it publicly. They take him aside quietly, and they begin to communicate to him the full scope of the gospel. So here's discipleship happening again. They're beginning to disciple someone else. They're using their gift of hospitality to reach out to this man. Not with a critical spirit, not with a harshness. They just disciple him. And they become friends. And so Apollos goes on to proclaim the gospel with a better theological understanding. You see what's happening? God has also given this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, the gift of discernment. They're able to, the time with Paul, they're able to recognize that some of the things that Apollos was teaching and preaching was inaccurate. So they take him aside gently and they teach him. They build into. So they take their gift of hospitality, and God blesses them with another gift, and they're able to discern and understand the gospel. It's incredible. This is called, as they're journeying, as they're growing, we call it progressive sanctification. Growing in Christ-likeness. It's continual. It's ongoing. We continue to learn. That's why we're always, always in a place where we can be discipled by somebody else. Not only are they still using their gift of hospitality and loving him, but they reach out and gently correct him. Again, this is just a husband and wife. They're not teachers or preachers. They're followers of Jesus who work in a leather shop. You know, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. Making, repairing things with leather. But they know God. And they rightly fear God. And that was that knowledge and fear of God that allowed them to step out of their comfort zone and to take a risk for the kingdom of God. It's interesting that these people aren't mentioned much in the scriptures. You know, in Acts they're mentioned a few times and a couple other places. And in Romans 16, 3-4, it says this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Do you see the significance of what's going on here? This couple who, just everyday, ordinary people, living their lives, has somehow spoken into, risked everything to help Paul in the ministry. But not only is Paul thankful, not only has this couple spoken into their lives, so however, we're not told, but whatever shape or form it took, he also spoke into the lives of all the churches, of the Gentile churches that are around there. Priscilla and Aquila loved Jesus and expressed it through their everyday work, and they used their spiritual gifts to serve him. They hosted people, discipled people, and somehow they risked their lives for people, for the kingdom of God. They weren't afraid to move out of their comforts. They weren't afraid to move out of their home for the sake of the gospel. They weren't afraid to have people invade their home, their personal space, for the gospel. And one of the most interesting things that we read about is they didn't wait till the trial of these circumstances were over. You know, once we get to Corinth, once we're settled, once our business is established, now after this divine appointment by God, they meet Paul and immediately begin to feed into his life with hospitality. They immediately have this relationship. They were followers of Jesus, not just tent makers. Often when we look at ourselves, who are we? Well, this is what I do, and then I follow Jesus on Sunday. But these people were followers of Jesus, and it just impacted every area of their life. You're sitting here today. You're not just a tent maker, and I know you're saying, well, I'm not a tent. It doesn't impact. It's not speaking about tent making. It's about where God has you and what he has you doing right now, whatever role. So how do you use your gifts and abilities in your everyday life? Maybe you're just a student. You think you're just a student. Maybe you think you're maybe you think that you're just a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you think you're just a student, a single person, a married couple. But God has given you skills, interests, and gifts. And I realize that spiritual gifts and abilities are different. However, God seems to use our spiritual gifts and our skills and abilities in tandem to serve him, to get to know people. Using our skills will often, what we do for a living will often lead into a divine appointment and then into relationships. Often the start of us serving is using our skills to help someone in need. Don't undervalue the skills or the gifts that you have and how they will impact ultimately God for his glory. Perhaps you've been keeping some of your gifts, some of your skills in the closet. Maybe it's buried in the backyard. Maybe you don't want to know what they are. Well, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. Take a step of faith. Believing in the God who is who he says he is. And see him empower you to step out. We're not going alone. We're going in the power of the Holy, indwelling Holy Spirit. Today, right where you are, I want to invite you to ask God how he can use you to be a light to the people around you. When you wake up tomorrow, I want to encourage you to pray and ask God how he can use you to tomorrow to further his kingdom. In whatever you're doing, whether you're working, whether you're playing, whether you're here at BBS, whether you're at home, I really want you to invite him to show you what he has for you. Because a blessing that comes from stepping out. Forget, was it yesterday somebody, this week sometime, I talked to somebody who was stepping out of their comfort zone. And the smile that came to their face was awesome. Let me just forewarn you. You might want to be careful how you pray. The last time I preached a sermon that gave a similar challenge, there was a family that goes to our church who invited another family to live with them. That's the reality of when we pray. That's our heart's desire. I'm actually not asking you to be careful. I want you to pray that prayer sincerely, but I'm saying that God will answer that prayer. And then how do we respond to that prayer of God? How do you want to use me for your kingdom? And I want you to be, the thing is, we have to listen. We have to hear what God is saying. I've shared a couple times, I was praying this one morning, and there's this little girl, neighbor girl that lived next to us. We had two dogs. And I was a youth pastor in Saskatoon, and we're always busy, right? We're too busy. But I pray this in the morning: God, show me someone today whom I can share the love of Jesus with, speaking to, whatever way, shape, or form. And this little girl would come knocking at the door, or I'd be outside, and she'd say, "Can I walk one of your dogs today?" "No, I'm busy." And the next day, the same thing happened. "No, I'm busy." And I prayed the same thing in the morning: God, show me somebody who I can speak into. And all of a sudden, one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was praying, and God said, "Yeah, probably about that prayer that you've been praying. There's this little girl that I've been sending to you every day, and you've said no every time." The next day, I walked outside, take the dogs for a walk, and she said, "Can I walk one of your dogs?" Absolutely. That little kid talked for a whole 20-minute walk. Now, I don't know if I made an impact in her life. We didn't live there very long. But we pray these things, and we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's when it's the thing he wants us to do. Because the thing he wants us to do is often very different than the thing that we want to do. Because we want the glamorous. We don't want the hard. But he wants us to use our spiritual gifts and abilities to serve Jesus in our everyday life. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you. Oh, we're so thankful for what you have done in our lives. And Father, I pray that our lives would be a reflection of what you have done in our lives. It would be an overflow. How we serve others, how we love others, it would be an overflow of what you have done in our lives. And we would just express it because it would just be a natural expression. And Father, today I pray that there are people here today that are going to ask the question with me right now. Father God, I want to serve you with all of my heart in my ordinary life. Father, I pray that I wouldn't be afraid, but God, show me how I can step out today, how I can use my talents, my gifts, and abilities that you have given me to serve you. And Father, we wait eagerly to hear your response. Father, open our ears to hear the word, the place where we can serve that you're going to call us to. And Father, I pray that that the fear will stay away. Remove the fear from our lives. I pray that we would have the boldness to say it out loud. Because when we say it out loud once, man, there's no going back. Father, give us the boldness and the courage to follow you in our lives as ordinary people. Oh God, thank you that we have this opportunity to be together as a church, brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage each other, fellowship with each other, and love one another. So Father, even as we take some time now and fellowship together over a meal, Father, would you bless our conversations? Would you give us the ability to encourage one another in our lives today? And Father, may you be honored and glorified as we partake of this food together. May you bless it. May you bless our conversation. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.